This is Sunday Conversations. Sunday Conversations is a presentation of Davis Broadcasting, Inc. in cooperation with Russell Innovation Center for Entrepreneurs, a 501c3 nonprofit organization.
Hello, and welcome to Sunday Conversations on Smooth Jazz 101, Smooth Jazz 100. I'm your host, Ashley Scott, and the Internal Communications Manager at the Russell Innovation Center for Entrepreneurs. Today, we talk to another outstanding Rice stakeholder. Here with me is Donetta Wells of the Wellsons Financial Group. Hey, Donetta, thanks for joining me.
Hey, Ashley, no problem. Thank you for having me.
Well, first off, let's talk with you a little bit about how your business came to be and what motivated you to get into entrepreneurship.
I've always been an entrepreneur. I come from a family of entrepreneurs. To be perfectly honest, I had a grandmother that used to sew uniforms for people, and that was her business. We all went to like a Catholic school, so my mother, father, everybody was an entrepreneur, so I never knew anything different. Part of what I brag about is I haven't had a W-2 since I was 19 years old, so what we see right now is a product of the education I got from my wonderful HBCU FAMU. Shout out.
Shout out to the Rattlers. They always going to do it every time.
And some opportunities that came my way to be involved in municipal finance. So this came from me being involved at being a municipal advisor consultant for several municipal bonding firms, and then came out of a desire. Wellson was born out of a desire for me to help the people that I kind of wanted to help that may have been overlooked because the profit margins just weren't there, which I understand, and I just wanted to have an alternative business model that can capture kind of those people that are typically underserved.
So when you talk about alternative capital, what does that mean for the regular listener? What are you talking about?
Anything that is not considered bank funding, honestly, when I say alternative. So anything that you may not fit into what they call the Blanche-Stiegel box, which is pretty much regulatory information for a bank. So what that means is we may not deal with you as a person. We only kind of deal mostly with businesses, which then allows for a little bit more creativity because we don't have to deal with the same type of consumer protection. So what it does allow for us to do is not be pigeonholed to certain revenue ratios and percentages that you usually have to meet to get funded. It allows us to use alternative sources of capital and revenues that may not necessarily be considered standard revenues. We can use projections also to develop it, just different ways to consider what could be assets, what could be used as collateral. These things, these definitions evolve and become more than just what you would go into a bank and sit down and sit with a loan officer and fill out an application. We try to find the ways and find people that are interested in the same thing that you're interested in and see if they be willing to invest their monies with you so that you can do what it is that you're trying to do.
So this is for businesses. B2B
yes.
is your model.
Yes.
So if I went into Wells Fargo or if I went into Citizens Trust Bank and they tell me that, you know what, you're just not making enough revenue, you don't have a personal guarantor, they say that essentially they're not willing to finance me, are you the person that I need to see?
I believe so. I'm sure that, you know, everybody has a unique story, and I may not be able to help everyone, but I'm sure that the bulk of my business comes from that. You know, as you grow and people learn to kind of respect your brand, the multitude of my customers come from people that have been turned down from other places, and I'm okay with not being the first choice. I understand I'm going to be the choice that's probably going to take you over the finish line, but if you need to go and test it somewhere else, I get it. But I do believe that that most people that are in business understand kind of what is the standard for what is usually okay to be financed. And so kind of, you know, in general that you don't fit in that box, I think I'll be able to help. So definitely I believe that at a minimum I can tell you how to help you become someone that can walk into a bank. We might have to take a few steps, and we might have to get some alternative capital. And some of that capital may be more expensive, maybe shorter terms. These are risks that you have to take and make sure that your business can absorb these things. But I definitely know I can try and come up with some sort of solution. How you use it and how beneficial it will be based on your business.
So let's dive just a little deeper. You talked about helping people become a bankable CEO.
Yes.
So for someone who's a novice, who might not have a business, they might be an aspiring entrepreneur, what makes a business bankable? What makes a CEO bankable? Someone who can go in and walk in the door and get the financing they need?
So that's a kind of a broad question, but I would say just to have the business behind your business. Together, you know, just to be frank, you know, understand where you're setting yourself up tax-wise, be thinking about your projections. You don't come in looking for funding to stay exactly where you are. So when you came to look for funding, or you thought about this business, it was to propel you forward. So it's mostly about operating in that propulsion, like where are you wanting to be, and understanding what that takes, and understanding what the cost of the money is, and how your business is going to be able to support it. So when you decide to become an entrepreneur, decide if you want to be a operator or if you really want to be a business owner, because you can do the thing that you're good at, take the gifts that you were, you know, born with, and feed yourself all the time. And you walk into a bank and get a personal loan so that you can do that thing for yourself to earn income. But if you're trying to produce revenue, which is meaning that you want to put a business together so that you can then provide opportunities for other people as well, then we need to be talking about how you plan on making that revenue and what kind of financing can support that revenue. How much can that money cost you? How long can you keep it? Because this is the way that your revenue comes in. That's kind of a different situation and more factors. So if you're just starting, just decide first if you just want to be the brand of you. Anything I decide to do, I'm just going to figure out a way to get paid to do it. And that is perfectly okay. But if you want to operate a business and you're seeking business capital, then we have to talk about all the factors of supporting that capital, executing in a way that you are responsibly distributing that capital in ways that is going to come back to you so that you can afford the debt service it. So those are the things that you kind of have to think about. And if you're not familiar with what these terms are, educate yourself about that and what the ramifications of taking that on is going to be first and foremost.
So you're a woman, you're an African-American business owner. There are always unique challenges. So do you mind talking a little bit about some of the unique challenges that you faced on your entrepreneurial journey and how you've overcome them?
I just feel like it's any journey that anybody that is of all those descriptive words you gave me, living in America, trying to do business, have to do. I don't necessarily feel like my challenges are any unique to any of those people that fit in that category. But mostly, we have to get into a mindset where we are not always asking for permission to grow our businesses or do things. And when I say that, is sitting still till somebody says, yes, I'll loan you money, or sitting still and not doing anything, because there are several things that you can do that don't cost money. And a lot of people get into this paralysis of, if I don't get, you know, $50,000, then I'm not going to do anything. And this thing is all about putting it out there and manifesting what you feel like your talent is into some kind of thing that can create revenue for you and your family. So I just think that because we are always so scared of somebody saying no, the major challenge is changing the mindset of, we have to have permission before we move forward of those things. And I think that is a unique challenge for me in dealing with the business owners that I want to deal with, that look like me and have these same descriptive factors, and just trying to remind people that they don't have to ask for permission. There's things that we can do, whether the bank says yes or whether, you know, you get that grant or not, that we can do to continue what your business is to have it grow organically.
So I know personally that you've launched a community. The Phenomenal Hughes Live Experience was here at the Russell Innovation Center for Entrepreneurs not too long ago. You are launching another live experience. Can you talk a little bit more about the Phenomenal Hughes Live Experience and the new platform that you're launching to help make bankable CEOs?
Oh my goodness, thank you for that question. It is definitely a labor of love, and I feel like it's a need, and from the reception that I'm getting, I think other people too do too. So Phenomenal Hughes, we're calling it the epicenter of phenomenal women. It is a safe place for women of hue to meet and discuss ideas in a way that we don't have to worry about necessarily them being taken, that the people that are involved in this community are there to help you and grow your business. And how can I centralize a community where we take one in, we take this village, we figure out how to fill in the missing pieces that you don't have, or provide the things to help you operate your business in a way at an affordable rate, where that you can kind of safely grow your business. And then at the end of the day, after you're done with our program, after you've got loved on and inspired and you take the journey and, of course, you know, support the platform financially, that at the end of the program you are ready to be funded, whether that be through a bank, whether that be through some sort of grant funding, whether that be through some sort of capital raise that's public, a public capital raise, however that happens, that we take African American women specifically and kind of deal with their challenges of feeling secure and safe in the workplace and in this entrepreneurial world, and we turn them into bankable CEOs, get the business of their business together, make sure their books are solid, make sure their marketing is on point, make sure that their face on social media and the internet is promoting the image that we want, making sure that they have proper contracts in place, all of the things that, you know, an entrepreneur will want. So once they come into our circle, that is the purpose of that, to serve most specifically, you know, Black women in the entrepreneurial field. So I'm excited to launch something like that.
I want to ask you this. How has being a stakeholder at Rice impacted your business and your journey?
I was just talking to my business advisor literally yesterday about how awesome this place is, if not for anything but the energy and the accountability of such. Like, just to be putting a program together that forces you to put your things down and make it plain. All these things that you know to do that you haven't done. You know, anybody that has had a dream of some sort of entrepreneurship, somebody around them has told them to, you know, write it down, make it plain, or, you know, put your dreams down, put your goals down. And this place makes you do it, and then makes it definitely real and provides the resources that you need to kind of help to manifest it at all levels. And at the end of the day, this was definitely like a breath of fresh air. I love coming and being around people that have a like mind and want to do the same thing. So I recommend at minimum you come and breathe the air in Rice at a minimum. But yeah, my experience has been, you know, awesome.
Well, Rice is Atlanta's home for Black entrepreneurs. And as we say on a regular basis, Black excellence lives here. Thank you so much, Donetta, for being here today and sharing your valuable insights with our audience. The stories you shared, your business, it's been such a good time diving deep with you today, and what it is you do is needed so much in our community, and I know that it will impact so many women of color. So thank you so much, and thank you, listeners, for being here with us and listening to Sunday Conversations. I'm Ashley Scott, and for information on today's episode, click the Sunday Conversations tab at smoothjazzatl.com. Sunday Conversations is a presentation of Davis Broadcast, Inc. in cooperation with Russell Innovation Center for Entrepreneurs, a 501c3 nonprofit organization.
Tune in every Sunday at 11 a.m. as we celebrate innovation, perseverance, and the entrepreneurial spirit. Sunday Conversations, hosted by Ashley Scott, only on Smooth Jazz 101, Smooth Jazz 100.